live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, always streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Emery Hunt is going to join us coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. We'll do a little post-combine reaction with him. And we're actually going to start the show by discussing something that we read to you towards the end of the show yesterday. And I guess once this was kind of the cat was let out of the bag, there has been a domino effect since then when you've been hearing a lot of Shedeur Sanders slander. And let me just be the first one to say, I may not be the first one at 1 minute past 3 o'clock here on the East Coast, but you've been waiting for my opinion all day, isn't that right? So I'll give you my opinion. I'm not going to stand for some of the Shedeur Sanders slander. Now, you may not think he's going to be great. That's fine. I think there's a healthy debate to have there. I think his ceiling in the NFL, I'd be fair to say, it's one that is just of a good level. I would not say of a great level yet in the NFL. I still believe that he's going to be, at worst, a top six pick in the NFL draft. But the questions now about him being arrogant and him being brash and him being egotistical and all this stuff, I think it is the typical baloney, hogwash, and jackassery that always ends up playing on out this time of the year, where it's a bunch of anonymous things being said about someone, and you never know what is the motive behind it. Because sometimes teams leak things about players that they like so they can get their hands on them, and then they try to change the narrative. Or other times, people just quickly get perturbed by an individual in one of these quick meetings that they have, and they, you know, end up acting like they are a high school kid at the lunch table, just gossiping, gossiping, gossiping. Here's what I know about Shedeur Sanders. Everywhere he has gone, he's left the place better than what he's found it. And also, Shedeur Sanders, whether it's at Jackson State or whether it's at Colorado, did more with less. Yes, Travis Hunter was the best player on Colorado this past year. The most valuable player was Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, the last 2 years, did not have an adequate offensive line with the Buffaloes of Colorado, and they continued to get better week by week, and you saw Shedeur Sanders run around and turn garbage into gold. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm saying Shedeur Sanders is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, Shedeur Sanders is instantly going to be a top five quarterback in the league. And I'm not even saying he could be a great quarterback, but I think he can be good. And I think at the absolute latest, he's going to be the sixth overall pick of this draft. I think he could go as early as two. And I do believe one of either the Browns, the Giants, or the Las Vegas Raiders are going to find their way to go get Shedeur Sanders. So is he the greatest prospect in the world? No, but there's always BS with Shedeur Sanders. And sometimes I think it gets exaggerated. You know, so the hate of the Sanders family, sometimes I think that goes a bit too far. But I want a quarterback who is confident. I want a quarterback who is an alpha. And I'm okay with my quarterback being cocky. So if someone talks to Shedeur Sanders, they go, oh, he's arrogant. Oh, he's brash. You know, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. And also, let me let you know a little secret. Who are the teams that he's talking to? Right? Because maybe, and we've heard this, that, right, Shedeur maybe wants to go play for Tom Brady. Or Shedeur wants to go team up with the New York Giants because he wants to go play with Malik Nabers. Right? Shedeur has even talked positively and has thrown a few little trails out there and left a little bit of a trail about potentially playing for the Cleveland Browns. So maybe he's just talking to a team that he has to go through the process, and he knows that there's probably not a good chance that he's going to be there. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take an interview seriously, but if he doesn't want to go to a certain team, I don't think it's a crazy thing where maybe he's not as as on his game as he would be in some of these other interviews. So I don't really know what is true here, but here was the report, and it's a long tweet. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. You know, this is way past the 280, 290 character limit, and this is a long tweet. I'll give you I'm going to give you about like 7 or 8 sentences. This is very difficult what I'm about to give you, but this is basically the first part of what Josina Anderson said. I'm disappointed to hear that a quarterback's coach from a team drafting in the top 7 referred to Shedeur Sanders as coming off as brash and arrogant in his team's interview and making his assessment known to a number of people per source. I'm purposely not naming the team as not to directly call the team out. I'm just sharing that this coach's personal assessment is the direct opposite from how Sanders came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the combine. Sanders appeared to go out of his way to acknowledge multiple media members, regardless if they were recognizable or not. He seemed cordial, polite, witty, thoughtful, along with being confident, as many athletes are. Alternately, these observations were distinctly different from how another QB prospect came off to some in the media last year in Indy. So that's what Josina Anderson said. So I have to ask you a question here, Stu. Because I'm in the business, right, of speculating and finding out who's the rat. That's what I want to know. So you have Josina Anderson here who is saying, I don't want to call this person out. I don't want to dime this person out. But she said something that has my antenna up, where sometimes, right, don't you say, oh, I really like a guy, but, or, you know, I don't want to be a bad guy, but, or, you know, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but, and you could give a hint. Now, if she would have said, it's a team drafting in the top 5. If she would have said a team drafting in the top 10, the top 15, the top 20, you know, it's a little bit different than the top 7. I have never heard someone give a report where they don't want to reveal who the team is and go, yeah, I don't want to tell you who it is, but it's a team in the top 7. Wink, wink. You know, that would be like me saying, hey, I have an issue here on the show today. And producing the show is Ryan Botcher and Stuart Kovacs. I have an issue with one of them. I don't want to dime this person out, but the initials with the person I have an issue with aren't RB. And no, I don't have an issue with Stu. It's like, what's your first thought, Stu, when she says top 7? Who's the team?
Top 7, 7th pick, Jets.
Right?
Done.
Like, isn't that, to me, what this is all about? Now, she said that this is coming from a quarterback's coach from a team drafting in the top 7. Like, that has to be. I don't think, right, if she's saying it's a top 7 and you go through the other 6 teams, I don't think Tennessee's going to talk crap on Shedeur Sanders. I don't. I don't get why Cleveland would. Because if you were trying to create an issue out of this, but not exactly dime out and dish out who the person is, then wouldn't you just say top 5 if it was Cleveland? I don't think it's the Giants. The Patriots have no need for a quarterback. The Jaguars have no need for a quarterback. The Raiders, heck, Tom Brady is like a mentor to Shedeur Sanders. So can't it really only be 3 teams, Stu? Tennessee, Cleveland, or the Raiders? Right, like, I don't, you know, maybe you could throw the Giants in there as well, but if it's going to be 1, 2, or 3, if you said top 3, that's a little bit different, right? If you said top 5, it's a little bit different. She said top 7. So I don't think it's crazy if we're just going to speculate and say not only is she talking about it being the Jets, but then the quarterback's coach for the New York Jets is Charles London. Right? Because this is a very specific thing. She's upset with someone basically saying and telling anyone that would listen that a team in the top 7 is referring to Shedeur Sanders as coming off as brash and arrogant in the team interview and making assessments known to numerous people. She says it's a quarterback coach from a team drafting in the top 7. Well, quarterback, coach, seventh pick, Charles London, right? That's what I would say. So I just thought that was very bizarre because I didn't notice it yesterday. I didn't think much of it yesterday when I just read it on the air for the first time. But in the top seven, that's just basically wanting to give you the answer without having any blood on your hands. Now, since that Justina Anderson report, there has been a domino effect. Let's listen up to Chris Trapasso, who does a great job for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ as a draft analyst. He joined the Maggie and McMuffin show, right? Oh, sorry, Maggie and Perloff show on the Infinity Sports Network right here, our great morning show with Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 7 a.m. Pacific. I believe I got those times right, right? Right? Okay, good. And you can listen to many of the same Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. But here is Chris Trapasso on what he's hearing about Shedeur Sanders on with Maggie and Andrew earlier this morning.
The two people that I spoke to, teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback, left the meeting feeling like Shedeur Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had a 15-minute meeting with him, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shedeur Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him.
So, Stu, I guess this makes you happy. If he's basically, if this is true.
Right.
That he's throwing these interviews because he wants to go team up with Tommy Brady and the Raiders. And he wants to go be the next franchise quarterback for the Raiders. And they haven't really had one since Rich Gannon. No disrespect to Derek Carr. And that's me basically being disrespectful to Derek Carr. But I guess you have to be thrilled by this. Does this increase your optimism that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the next quarterback of the Raiders?
I would say a little bit. I'm not 100% there yet, but I think it does seem more likely than it felt 48, 72 hours ago for sure.
And that's the part of it that I don't think is that far-fetched, right? We've seen Eli Manning and the Manning family basically dictate where they did go, and that was in a more public way. We've seen that happen before. The Sanders family has thrown this out there, right? Deion has said it before. I'm not going to let my son play for any team, right? So this is kind of a savvy and smart way. And I don't know why you definitely want to go play for the Raiders. That's a different conversation. But if you really wanted to go to the Raiders and you're meeting with teams, you know, maybe you're not on your A game because you're trying to land to a specific spot. But even with that being said, I still don't know how likely it is that he lands with the Raiders. Because I do think Cam Ward's going one. Now, could the Giants move up to one? That's a possibility. And then could Tennessee pass on a quarterback at three? Could Cleveland pass on a quarterback at two? Yes. So there's a road for him to fall to the Raiders. But let's say that the Titans don't trade the pick. I think then they're taking Cam Ward. And either they take Abdul Carter or they take, with the number one overall pick, Travis Hunter, Tennessee. And I would then think Cleveland would take Cam Ward. But after that, if that like does fall where Shedeur doesn't go in the first two picks, which he's not going to go one, the Giants would then need to pass on him. And I don't think the Giants would pass on him. So if the Giants then do pass on him, and let's say they make their decision next week on who's going to be their quarterback, then there's a chance that he could fall to the Raiders. But if you look at those teams, it's like it could only be so many because, right, you say it's in the top seven, Justina Anderson. I don't see why, right, Shedeur Sanders wouldn't try to interview well with Tennessee. You know, maybe Cleveland, even though he's talked positively about Cleveland, because they're just not heading in the right direction. The Giants, at least you have Malik Nabers. The Patriots don't need a quarterback. The Jaguars don't need a quarterback. And you know he's not saying a bad word when he's talking to the Raiders. So maybe he just felt like this Jets interview is pointless. You know, maybe that is the case. And also, here's the other thing. Cam Ward last week was talking about, hey, the Jets, you basically should try to come get me. So it's interesting how that's how Cam Ward approached the Jets and how, if we're going to speculate, Shedeur Sanders may have approached his interview with the New York Jets. Either way, I don't care. Right? Like, I'm there to evaluate what you do on the football field. And off of it, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that Shedeur Sanders, I can't trust him if I end up having him, you know, use a top seven or whatever draft pick on a quarterback. I just don't. But that was Chris Trapasso on explaining why that could happen. Here is Todd McShay, longtime NFL analyst and draft analyst on the McShay Show, and Todd McShay on what he's hearing about Shador Sanders post the combine.
The two people that I spoke to, teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback, left the meeting feeling like Shador Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had a 15-minute meeting with him, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shador Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him.
All right, and that's fine. But once again, who are those teams? He said two teams in the top 10. So if I had to guess, probably the Jets, right? I would think that report is similar to Jacina Anderson. And then I don't know if he met with the Saints or not, but could it be the Saints? They're picking at 9. I still don't think that this guy is the absolute latest. I think he gets drafted as 6. And hey, sometimes we're wrong on this. Sometimes we see these crazy draft falls. And maybe that ends up being Shador Sanders. But if you're the Raiders, like Stu, let me just ask you this. Let's say Tennessee at 1 takes Cam Ward. Then Abdul Carter goes 2 with the Browns. Then let's say the Giants end up going Travis Hunter. The Patriots take Mr. Short Arms in Will Campbell. Then the Jaguars take Mason Graham. If the Raiders are at 6 and they don't take Shador Sanders, right, with all the big prospects off the board, I know Will Johnson is still there. You could still talk about Banks from Texas. You could look at the edge rusher from Georgia, Jalen Walker. Like, there's other guys there that you could be fine with. McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. But if they pick one of those guys, when you have a quarterback on the board in Shador Sanders, you would have to be livid, right, Stu?
I'll be pretty disappointed. I'll be more angry if they do that than I was when they actually won games towards the end of the season to cannibalize their draft position.
And you called that, by the way.
I knew it was coming.
A month and a half left in the season, I said, Stu, you're going to get a good draft pick. He goes, nope, the Raiders are going to win some games that they shouldn't at the end of the year. So what do you make of this Shador Sanders stuff? I think a lot of it is just baloney, hogwash, and jackassery, if I'm being serious. Because it always happens with one guy in the draft. You watch him play. You're impressed by him in college. And then leading up to the draft, people try to create this narrative. And it's low-hanging fruit with Shador, right? But this idea that him being brash or arrogant, like, I don't even know if it's true. But I don't think that's necessarily a knock when you're talking about a quarterback. Like, I want my quarterback to have a chip on his shoulder. I want him to be a little cocky. I want him to be a little bit arrogant. I want him to be an alpha. But we didn't really hear this stuff before the combine. And people could have their preconceived notions, and I think a lot of it is bullcrap here. But ultimately, if you're a team like Cleveland, if you're a team like the Giants, if you're a team like the Raiders, I don't think you should be in the business because another team was rubbed the wrong way with how Shador Sanders' interview on that's why you don't end up taking Shador Sanders. I'm not saying Shador Sanders is going to be in Canton, Ohio one day. I'm not saying Shador Sanders is going to be a top 5 quarterback in the league ever. But what I saw in college at Jackson State and at Colorado is he made people around him better. He uplifted a team, and he did more with less. And he was the MVP, not the best player, but the MVP of the Colorado football team last year. So now all of a sudden, because some quarterback coach in the top 7, wink, wink, ends up, doesn't like that Shador Sanders didn't give it his all in his interview process because he's not going to the Jets at 7, right? He'll go before 7 because the Raiders at the last resort will take him at 6 because he didn't go all out in the interview. So someone now thinks he's brash and arrogant. Am I supposed to sit here and lose my mind over this? No. And quite frankly, this is just, once again, the word I'll use, the jackassery that goes on with the NFL draft process, where it's like, let's tear a kid down and let's just try to destroy a kid because he didn't like a 15-minute conversation with him. I think this is all a bunch of nonsense. I think this is all a big, giant nothing burger. And ultimately, Shador Sanders not going to fall that much. He'll go in the first 6 picks of the draft, and he'll probably either go to Cleveland, the Giants, or the Raiders. And that's just my way of thinking on this. These reports today, let me be abundantly clear, whether it's what Chris Trapasso said, Jacina Anderson has been hearing, Todd McShay, it doesn't change anything for me. Because this time of the year, February, March, April. It's lying season. It's overreaction season. And trust what your eyes basically showed you for the last few years with Shador Sanders. That's what I would say. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What the Minnesota Vikings should do at quarterback this offseason. I'll get to that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, the deadline for the franchise tag is approaching. 35 minutes from now at the top of the hour. If you have not slapped the franchise tag on someone, well, then they can't be tagged. And then you do have, if you do franchise tag someone like the Bengals yesterday, slapping the tag on T. Higgins, you have until July 15th to then find a way to get a long-term deal done, or else that player is going to be playing on the tag, whether it's with that team or someone else next year. So I read that earlier this morning. The reporting was that Sam Darnold is not expected to get tagged by the Minnesota Vikings. I think that's the right decision by the Minnesota Vikings. If Sam Darnold walks, you know, we'll see how the compensation does play out, but you basically get a third-round pick. So is there any really incentive to slap the tag, and do you think that you'll be able to get more if you're trading Sam Darnold to somewhere else? I think there needs to in order to get more than probably a third-round pick, there needs to be a severe market. And here's the hot take of the day. I don't think there's going to be this robust market for Sam Darnold. I don't. If Sam Darnold didn't play so poorly in the last two games of the season, I think it's a different conversation. Like, when he played to the level that he did up against Green Bay, and I think it was the second to last week of the regular season, and remember, he was getting thrown on like linemen's shoulders in the locker room. They're throwing water bottles everywhere. And you have Kevin O'Connell sitting there just staring at Sam Darnold in the locker room like he was a proud pop, right? And he was just like in awe of what was going on. That was the first time, because we had Ben Lieber on, if you remember, from the Minnesota Vikings radio network on before that game. And he goes, I think that the Minnesota Vikings next year are going to rock and roll with J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to let Sam Darnold go elsewhere. And I agree with him, right? That was the genesis of that conversation. And then a lot of people started to run with it. And remember, we had that one fan in Minnesota who recorded a video and a song, and he was furious. He was like furious when we played it on the air. He was like, Zach and Ben, like basically like, shut up. And he's like singing with it. He had some tape over his nose too. And I was having some fun with that individual on the air. And we were going kind of back and forth, and it was good. But you look at that moment after Green Bay, that was the first time even someone like me, who all throughout the year was like, JJ is going to be their guy next year, where I had to wait and say to myself, maybe Sam Darnold's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings next year. But then that thought that was only quickly out there by me for a few moments quickly evaporated into thin air when Sam Darnold not only had a terrible performance with the number one seed, a bye on the line, the division on the line, up against the Detroit Lions, but then it carried over into the wild card game where they got beat up pretty good by the LA Rams. So it kind of stinks because he did such a good job in rewriting the narrative on Sam Darnold. And for the first time in his NFL career, we were actually praising Sam Darnold because it did not work out well with the Jets. It obviously did not work with the Carolina Panthers. And we were looking at Sam Darnold, and it was just this unbelievable renaissance story, rejuvenation story with what was going on with the Minnesota Vikings. And yes, right, like you could look at Minnesota and say, well, you got O'Connell, you got Jefferson, you got Addison, you had Hockenson back, you had a solid running back in Aaron Jones. There was enough there where you understand Sam Darnold needed to be put in a good situation to succeed. But when you're throwing like 30-something touchdown passes a year, I don't care who's around you, you have to eventually also credit the quarterback as well. And Sam Darnold, that week after the Green Bay game, it was praise, 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 praise. And a lot of people started to vocally say, in a loud majority say, hey, Sam's going to be the guy coming on back next year. But with how that narrative quickly ran to the top of the mountain and then fell right off the cliff and didn't find like a landing spot, it crashed in at the bottom of the mountain, in the ground, and it was ugly. I don't see how you bring back Sam Darnold. I don't. I do not. Like, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you just used a 10th overall draft pick on J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, You used a first round top 10 pick on him. Sam Darnold walked into Minnesota with basically, I wouldn't even say his career on life support. His career was already dead. And he found a way to show a pulse. He found a way for 14, 15 weeks to change the view about him. But when push did come to shove in the last week of the regular season and in the wild card game, he was terrible. So why would you go bring back Sam Darnold? I would rather go with the unknown and someone that I think has a higher ceiling, even though Darnold was a third overall pick and McCarthy was 10th. But Darnold, right, failed with the Jets and it didn't work out with the Carolina Panthers. So yes, he had a nice season. No one's taking that away. But why would you then use a top 10 pick on J.J. McCarthy? And I understand he had the meniscus injury and he didn't play last year. But why would you sit him then for another season and also shell out more cash to Sam Darnold? And I don't think Sam Darnold's only taken a one-year deal. Like, could that change the conversation? Sure. I, though, still would personally have J.J. McCarthy as a starting quarterback next year. I think the Vikings should just look at Sam Darnold and say, we appreciate your service. We appreciate what you've done. We're going to let you go fly somewhere else, though. Go get your money. Go get your 3-4 year contract. And I do think there will be a team that gives him a 3 or 4 year deal. I think he's in line. And I do believe Baker Mayfield's better, obviously. But I think he's in line for a deal similarly to what Baker Mayfield got last offseason with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think there will be a team out there that will give it to him. You know, maybe it is the Raiders, him and Pete Carroll, you link up and then boom, you go there. Because for some reason, even though I was first to the train on Shedeur Sanders going to the Raiders, at the end of the draft last year I predicted it. For some reason, I still feel like Shedeur Sanders, as long as the Giants don't trade up to 1 to get the Tennessee Titans pick and then they go get Cam Ward, I still think that Shedeur Sanders is going to land with the New York Giants. So the Raiders are going to need a quarterback. And if you're the Raiders, I would go give a 3 or 4 year deal to Sam Darnold and you kind of front load it on the first 2 years and then you could spread that money out and you basically tie it up with Pete Carroll's 3 year contract as well. That's what I would do. But from Minnesota's standpoint, I don't see why you would bring back Sam Darnold. Because I would ask yourself, why are you bringing him back? Because with Sam Darnold, you know what the limitations are. Sam Darnold could be a good quarterback in Minnesota. We know that. But can he win you a playoff game? Can he win you a big game? Can he win you a game when the division's on the line? Can he go win you a wild card game? No, we just saw it. Because this was the year of Sam Darnold. This is the year where the stock for Sam Darnold will be at its highest. This is the way that we will view him in the most positive fashion probably for the rest of his career. And even though, right, he started to eliminate Mono Sam, seeing Ghost Sam, those things were going right out the window. But they popped back up when most of us became believers in the last regular season game and then in the wild card round. So if you're going to go to Sam, I wouldn't understand why you would when you have a present under the tree in J.J. McCarthy that it may not be a great present, it may not be wonderful, but if you just made Sam Darnold, whose career was donezo, look like a good, competent, successful quarterback in this league, why can't you do so with J.J. McCarthy, who was on the sideline last year and was a top 10 pick? I think the system in Minnesota is more valuable than the quarterback, and that's also a big part of this. This is by design of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and also Kevin O'Connell, where they're telling you, we don't need to go pay this quarterback right now $60 million a year. So even if you get Sam Darnold at $40 million, why do that before you give J.J. McCarthy an actual shot? So I think this is an easy-peasy decision. You don't franchise tag him. That will become official that they don't franchise tag him. And now, 25 minutes from now, then you will have Sam Darnold be on the market next week. And I do think Sam Darnold is going to go somewhere else. J.J. McCarthy, as long as he's healthy, will be the week one starter for the Minnesota Vikings. And you get back that third round compensatory pick for Sam Darnold. And quite frankly, that is more than you could have ever expected on what you would have got back for Sam Darnold when he elected to sign with the Minnesota Vikings just this past offseason. Because he was an afterthought. No one took Sam Darnold seriously. Give him credit that he's going to go get paid. But, you know, like Hickey, for example, I saw he was tweeting up a storm today. It would be career suicide for Sam Darnold to leave the Minnesota Vikings. Like, I think fans and players view things differently, right? It's not career suicide for Sam Darnold. Like, he could go to the Raiders and get $35 to $40 million a year. If he's good or not, it doesn't matter to me. He's getting that money. So I would go cash in right now when your stock is in a good spot. And Hickey, the three teams he threw out there were the Raiders, the Giants, or the Titans. Like, do you think that it's going to be that much different than what we saw this year for Sam Darnold of Minnesota if they bring him back for next year? I think he probably would only regress or just stay the same. And that's why I go to the unknown and the uncertainty of J.J. McCarthy, who I think can be good. I don't think J.J. is great. Sam could be good. I don't think he's great. And you basically have to pay J.J. McCarthy nothing. And I said that during the draft process. Out of all the quarterbacks that were available, I said J.J. McCarthy needed to go to Minnesota more than anybody because he needs the system around him to have some stars. And you saw that with the team that he has in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, with Addison. You know, we'll see who else is back with that team. You still got Hockenson there. That's a spot where I think J.J. McCarthy could be good. Sam Darnold just showed it last year. He could be good there. So just from a financial standpoint, why would you then go break the bank for Sam Darnold when you could have a better version of Sam Darnold and basically pay him next to nothing for next year? So this is an easy decision, and that's why Minnesota's going to let Sam Darnold walk. All right, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Do you want to see the Lakers go on a long run this postseason? How about the Golden State Warriors? Or do you want to see new blood in the Western Conference and an unfortunate injury yesterday out in the Western Conference as well? We'll talk a little NBA when we come on back. Update time first. Here's Zach.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Panthers goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky. In last night's 2-1 win over the Lightning, the two-time Vezina winner saved 28 of 29 shots that came his way. The Panthers currently sit with 79 points, which is second in the Atlantic Division. I saw some pucks last night. I saw my Rangers just beat up back-to-back shutouts. Jonathan Quick had a shutout on Sunday, and then on Monday, last night at the world's most famous arena, the Islanders had a goal early, and then it was waved off and overturned on review because it was offside. And Igor Shesterkin did not allow a goal in that one either, as the Rangers just beat the snot out of the Islanders last night. I'll be going back to the Garden tonight, and actually, I think you may be able to see me on the broadcast. So I'm sitting a row or two behind the Knicks bench, and I did not do this intentionally, but I'm going to the game, and the game will be broadcasted nationally on TNT. It is Knicks and Warriors. I saw Steph Curry rolled his ankle last night, but Steph Curry said after the game, like, he tweaked his ankle, something like that, but he's still going to try to play at the Garden. He expects to play unless if his ankle tells him not to, was the quote that he gave last night in their game up against the Hornets. So I hope Steph Curry plays because I'm going to the game and I want to see Steph. I've seen Steph play live in person, I think, two times in my life. Both was when I was living in Philadelphia. The first time I saw him play live, he was like 0-12 from three. He had an abysmal shooting night. And after the game, he said, hey, you know, when you're in a slump, shooters just got to shoot. And that's kind of the mentality that I go by. But I didn't know that I was going to the game before I got to the studio. And then a buddy of mine that has seats right behind the Knicks bench goes, hey, do you want to go tonight? And I'm wearing a big, bright red sweatshirt. And I'm wearing a hoodie. You already know. So, right, you have all, like, the yellow and the blue with the Warriors, the Knicks, the blue and the orange that will be there. And then you're just going to see, like, a big blob behind the Knicks bench in a red sweatshirt. So see if you can see me on the broadcast tonight. So I'm going back to the Garden for a little Knicks and Warriors tonight, a double dip, Rangers and Islanders last night. And then tonight, a little Knicks and Warriors. But on the topic of the NBA, or before I get to the NBA, Ian Rappaport, I know that we're closing in on the franchise tag deadline, and we just talked about this in the last segment. Right as we're coming back from break, the Vikings will officially not be tagging Sam Darnold, but the two parties will continue to work towards a deal that is best for both sides. I give you my opinion. Ultimately, I think Sam Darnold is going to go somewhere else. Now, here's the tricky parts, though. Because I just got a tweet during the break from a listener named Peter, and he said, do you think that JJ might not be ready for the beginning of the season? Now, I saw Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said the other day that they're hopeful that JJ McCarthy is ready for the start of training camp. So if they're hopeful that he's ready for the start of training camp, I would imagine that something would really have to go wrong for him not to be ready to go week one. I'm of the line of thinking the Vikings should say goodbye to Sam Darnold and they should rock and roll with J.J. McCarthy. But if the Vikings are trying to still get a deal done with Sam Darnold, and I got to see what the legitimacy of that is, because I still believe that they intend eventually to make J.J. McCarthy their long-term quarterback, don't you just go to Sam if you're trying to get a deal done, right? But the two parties will continue to work towards a deal that is best for both sides. It's very ambiguous. If you're trying to get a deal done, and right, that could have many different meanings, but if I'm Minnesota, the only way I'd bring him back, and once again, I would not bring him back, is if it's a one-year deal. That's it. Like, hey, come back, play another year, and then go get your money somewhere else next year. You know, basically do what you just did this year, and it's off a better foundation. That's what I would say. That's the only way I would entertain it, and maybe you have J.J. McCarthy sit for another year. That's the only way. But once again, I still think the best option is you save the money, even if it's for a year, and you go and you turn the baton over to J.J. McCarthy, because I think he's ready to go. I do. You know, he got to finish the heel and all that stuff, but we're talking about hopefully being ready for training camp. I'll be shocked if he's not ready by week one. That's more than enough time, unless if he suffers a new injury, to get him ready for the start of the season. And you're going to basically pay him a whole lot less than what you'd be paying Sam Darnold. But if I'm Sam Darnold, Stu, like, if Minnesota's saying only a one-year deal, that's my last resort. I would consider two teams if I'm Sam. I'm trying for the Steelers, number one. Right? That's a good destination for him. But if not the Steelers, then I'm trying for the Raiders on a three-year deal. And I actually don't even think the Giants would be a bad destination for him. I think the Giants are going to get a quarterback in the draft. But the Giants at least have Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy Jr. did a nice job. Those would be the three teams that I would consider if I'm Sam Darnold. I think are realistic. The Giants, the Raiders, and the Steelers. And if all three of those teams say no, then I would be open to taking a cheap one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. That's how I would kind of approach it if I'm Sam Darnold. But once again, I don't know how you feel on this, Stu. If I'm Minnesota, if I'm running Minnesota, I would just say, all right, let's go to J.J. McCarthy and let Sam walk.
I agree. And maybe if he didn't have those last 2 weeks that he had, maybe we'd be talking differently about it. But I just feel like, and I don't think he's a bad quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that if you draft McCarthy top 10 like you did, you kind of have to just go with him at this point, because you saw something that's enough to be like, okay, we're going to use a pick on him that we could have used on, let's just say, Brock Bowers, for example.
Like, sure.
I know they didn't think Darnold would be as good as he was, but you kind of have to go to the rookie, I think.
Now, just to play devil's advocate, and now I'm basically arguing with myself because I agree with you. Can't you just say, oh, well, look at what San Francisco did. We moved mountains to go get Trey Lance. Never really gave him an opportunity. They went with Brock Purdy, right? Like, I know it's a different scenario.
Yeah, definitely.
But just because you used a top 10 pick on him doesn't mean that you have to go to him. Because look at what the Niners did to move up to 3, and all they gave up, and they basically just said after, what, a few weeks, oh, we're going to go with, Mr. Irrelevant in the last pick of the draft in Brock Purdy. So there is previous precedent before where just because you use an early draft pick on someone doesn't mean that you have to end up going to them and giving them a legitimate chance. But I'm with you. I think that it will ultimately be J.J. McCarthy starting week one, and Sam Darnold will be somewhere else. Where do you have Sam Landon right now? Just wondering.
Think he will. So it's interesting.
I think it's your team.
I think it's the Raiders, but if they get Shador, then I mean, the problem is you kind of have to know before what you're doing, right? Because you can't plan for Shador.
Unless they trade up, I don't think they know for sure that they're going to be able to get Shador if they wait for the draft.
Does feel like a Raiders move, though, to sign Darnold.
Yeah. Man, like Darnold and Kirk Cousins, these guys could be in similar spots where Darnold could sign somewhere next week. Kirk Cousins, you know, if he ever gets released, could go somewhere else. And then come April, they think they know where they're going and then for the rest of their career. And then, boom, team goes and makes a move in the draft. It would be very on-brand, though, for the Raiders. So Simon Sam Darnold and Shador Sanders are at 6, and they take Shador Sanders as well.
Definitely.
It's like the Twilight Zone. Anyway, I'll ask this question with the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. If you're an NBA fan, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now, he's like minus 550 to win the MVP. He's been awesome. You got the resurgence of Ja Morant with the Memphis Grizzlies back to stardom. You also take a look, Nikola Jokic kind of rewrites history each and every night with the Denver Nuggets. Those are teams right now that are set up in a very good position to go on a deep postseason run. Now the Lakers, right, they get Luka Doncic, team him up with LeBron, right? Rob Pelinka just absolutely abused Nico Harrison in that trade. And also, you've seen the Lakers play well. And Golden State, to their credit, I thought they were dead, right? I thought they were donezo. They were done winning championships. They go get Jimmy Butler. Now, Steph, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green have been a nice little trio. And now there's life with the Golden State Warriors. So with this quick resurgence in 2025 with the Lakers and Golden State, would you rather see one of those teams go to the NBA Finals, or would you like to see some new blood with the Grizzlies or even with the Oklahoma City Thunder? And I know the Nuggets just won a championship a few years ago, but would you rather see one of those three teams, or would you rather see LeBron, or would you rather see Steph? I hate to say it because I didn't think I would say this, but I'd rather see the old guard. And I'm not a huge J.J. Redick fan, but he's doing a good job this year. I'll give him credit. But I like what I'm seeing from the Lakers the last few weeks, and I like what I'm seeing from the Golden State Warriors as well. And it's fun, and you have the big star name and the big brand of LeBron and also Steph Curry. And also horrible last night to see that Kyrie Irving did tear his ACL. I know he went back to the charity stripe to hit those free throws. Before the game, there was that story about the Mavericks raising ticket prices. But you look at the Mavericks, what a disaster they've been. Anthony Davis hurt. You trade Luka Doncic. Now Kyrie's out for the year. That organization, now a lot of it is their own fault. The Kyrie thing is just bad luck. But a lot of the organization's moves have just been terrible. But when it rains, it pours with the Dallas Mavericks right now. And this is just a bleep show. And they are a laughingstock. From the NBA Finals a year ago, right, just in June, to now being one of the biggest clown shows in the NBA. It's really surreal to see how this all did unfold so quickly. Coming on back, Zach Gilb Show.